You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Meridian, as we know, is one of the fastest growing cities in the country. And the city's library, well, it needs some space to grow as well. Supporters will ask voters this spring for a $14 million plant facility levy to add branches and renovate the main Cherry Lane location. The library is a hub for Meridian residents who checked out materials a staggering 1.6 million times last year. In 2013, program attendance was at 34,000. Well, fast forward to last year, 2018, there were 120,000 people coming into library programs. And the library is more than just books. Meridian has a strong digital presence, including a subscription to Ancestry.com that anybody can use. Joining me live in studio is the director of the Meridian Library, Gretchen Casarotti. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
So tell me about the library itself, because you have like a main library location, but then one other location.
Yes, we have our Silverstone branch, which is off of Overland and Eagle. It's a little retail storefront, about 4,500 square feet. And our Unbound location just closed, which was in downtown Meridian. And we are very close to, we hope to be able to make an announcement soon about finding a new forever home for our technology library as well.
So what was your Unbound program? What is that?
Unbound is our technology library. The collection there is hardware and software. It's focused on serving the business and entrepreneurial community, and our goal is to help by providing access to emerging technology and staff to support the development of the skills to use that technology. All residents of Meridian can improve their technology skills, which in turn helps benefit the greater economic health of the community.
So, and you'll hopefully have an announcement soon where the permanent location for that will be. Okay. So talk to me about your digital side, because you actually have as I said, you have an Ancestry.com subscription that anybody can come in and use?
Yes. We know that there's a great interest in genealogy, and we've had many requests for those types of databases for people who are researching family histories. We have local authors that are researching history for books they're writing. And Ancestry.com is our new database, provides a lot of access to not just United States records, vital records, directories, things like that, but also international records. So we noticed just recently they uploaded a lot of content from Mexico. So you could research by city, life and death records, obituaries, school directories, all kinds of information in there.
And then what other kind of digital programs and subscriptions do you have?
If a resident were interested in writing a book about their family history, for example, they could use Ancestry to do a lot of research, in addition to some other sources. They could come to Unbound or any of our libraries to get access to lynda.com. And learn how to use our equipment to scan family photos and then use the software like Adobe Creative Cloud or others to write a family history book that might include a lot of media. So you could basically write and publish your whole family history from using the library's resources for free.
And then you have non-traditional collections, right?
We do.
So tell me about those, and then also why do you have them?
Yeah. Well, I'm personally very interested in thinking about library services slightly differently. We've always historically collected resources to make them available to residents in a community. But what people do with the stuff we have is, I think, what's really interesting about library services. And so we think a little bit more about connecting dots between media formats. Just learning to read, for example, you don't only use books anymore. There's lots of different formats and ways that people think about learning, whatever it might be, and satisfying a curiosity or learning and deeper diving into something for a mastery. And so we've worked to try to pull together different types of formats that are more subject-based. And so we have our Rascal Reader kits, for example, in kids learning to read those books. The publishers determine those levels, and they're very difficult to use. As a parent with young readers myself, I can attest to that. And so our librarians can pull all of those materials and resources on themes and the success of the reading therapy dog programs in libraries. We've kind of expanded that for kids who don't have pets at home or can't make it to the library. They can check out the kit and take home our Rascal Reader the dog is our mascot, and then they can read to the puppet dog at home. We have a lot of technology that people can borrow from the library. Mm-hmm. Our early literacy kits have been sponsored by our local Meridian Rotary Club. And those are collecting puzzles and games and books and resources for teachers and parents to help support their kids' learning across multiple formats. So the idea is more function about what people want to do, mm-hmm. learn, or accomplish, as opposed to just the stuff and the format of the materials we have.
And libraries have changed exponentially, it seems, over the years. I mean, you're talking about all of these things that people can come in and use. And I mean, when I was growing up, you went and checked out a book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how much libraries have evolved.
Indeed. And there is a lot online. So I think a shift is around research, and information mm-hmm. is definitely more digital. You can verify the accuracy of it. I appreciate your former guest here before me on thinking about health literacy. Librarians are here to help you determine not everything on the web is necessarily good, right, authoritative, current, based in science and fact. So our digital resources are a great space mm-hmm. for us to help make sure people have good information. But reading is as popular as ever. And certainly in Meridian, our children and teens are readers. And we've seen continued growth in the circulation of our youth materials in books.
I'm speaking with Gretchen Casarotti. She is the Meridian Library Director. And speaking of growth, let's talk about this levy that's coming up for a vote in May. And what would, if passed, what would that go towards? Because you're asking for $14 million, a plant facility levy.
Yep. So a plant facility levy is an annual tax collection. Our proposed measure is asking the voters if they would approve $1.4 million to be collected each year over 10 years, so $14 million in a 10-year period. And those would actually go toward four facility projects. A lot of things have changed in the recent years, and mm-hmm. we've tried to leverage partnerships with community agencies, with local businesses, with developers. And we now are looking at a north branch up in the Linder Village project, the renovation of Cherry Lane Building, which is 20 years old that you mm-hmm. mentioned, retrofitting or renovating this hopeful building for Unbound, and then a library branch full service over at the Hill, which is the joint project with Hillsdale Elementary, the Treasure Valley YMCA, St. Luke's, and the City of Meridian.
Well, and what's interesting, too, is even in our intro when we talked about the numbers in 2013, even just in your program, where you saw 34,000, but then just last year, 120,000 people just mm-hmm. coming to your library programs. That speaks volumes in the sense of the growth of Meridian, because when you look at your main library branch, it is small. I'm sure 20 years ago, it served its purpose.
Indeed. It was built for a city of 40,000 people, and we are at 105,000 now.
So this is one of the reasons for that. So, and you need 55% of the vote in order for that to pass coming up in May. Just announced, though, I want to talk about this. You are a finalist for the National Medal for Libraries and Museums, and there are only 30 finalists in the U.S.?
Yep, 15 libraries and 30 finalists that include museums.
Okay, so talk to me about what this is and what this means for your library.
Oh, it's so exciting. We're just thrilled. The Institute for Museum and Library Sciences is a federal agency, and they shortlisted us as finalists for this award. Our nomination talked about technology and the work we've done with Unbound and committed to elevating technology skills, but also with our commitment to early literacy and outreach. So our philosophy is to embed ourselves in the community and serve people from within the community and not wait for them to come to us. And so our work around early literacy has resulted in a lot of new initiatives, such as new baby kits, working with the family medical residency in Meridian to distribute early literacy support for new families that are low income, as well as our tiny library, which is our shipping container children's library at the Hill. And that's going really well. And so that belief in outreach with our community and building partnerships, I think, really helped us stand out in our nomination. Mm-hmm. And they'll decide in May, and the winners go to Washington, D.C. to accept a medal. And we're just thrilled to be listed as a finalist. I think it's an exciting opportunity, but just a really great mm-hmm. honor. really focus on the work. Our service philosophy is hold doors open, and that is applied at all levels of our organization. And we really firmly believe in building relationships so that we can really not just provide that stuff, but speak to the aspirations and the dreams mm-hmm. and the hopes of our citizens by helping them connect to the resources they need in order to achieve their goals.
And you know, as we mentioned earlier, like libraries have just evolved so much over the years, especially within that digital space. Do you believe this is kind of the future of libraries and their sustainability within communities?
I think so. I was just speaking earlier with a colleague that there's a great book called Expect More by R. David Lankus, and it's actually written for people in communities to learn how to think about libraries and what they can do for themselves, and that they should expect more from their libraries and push them. And I think the evolution around our communities in society also give us an opportunity to be both that unique place in a community for learning. We know that the best learning happens in information-rich environments, but also unique community places where we are continually fragmented as a society. We seek the human interactions, and libraries are a wonderful place where you can meet people that are outside of your normal world. You can connect to people who share ideas, connect to people who have different ideas. And at the end of the day, we're really all about stories, and libraries are a great place to read and explore stories, but also learn about each other's stories.
I want to thank you for coming in today and talking more about the Meridian Library. My guest today has been Gretchen Casarati. She is the Meridian Library Director. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.